want to introduce to you this new sermon series that's going to run through Christmas Day. So it'd be 5 full weeks from today, or 4 if you want to count, do the math that way, but 5 Sundays. So this morning we see we're going to start with ugly thoughts, ugly words, ugly motives, ugly actions. And then Christmas Day, it's going to be love overcomes that ugliness. And so I'm going to invite you to wear your Christmas sweaters, your ugliest ones you have, the next 4 Sundays. And then on Christmas Day, I want you to dress to the T for Christ. And that's what I want you to do. And we are in the midst of our ugliness. We're going to learn about that today. And so this is where we're going to start this morning. And if you want to grab your pew Bible, we're going to begin in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. It's a very common set of verses, but it gets us implanted into the Word with our thoughts here this morning, okay? And then we'll look at the Christmas story from the shepherds here in just a little bit, as well in Luke 2. But let me lay some groundwork here. I want to talk to you about the church in Philippi, all right? So Paul is writing this letter. They believe he's imprisoned, so he's in chains. And so he writes this letter to this church. Now, this church is mostly Gentile people. It's not Jewish people. So you and I are Gentiles, all right? And so he writes to this church. It's a faithful church, but they're having some issues. Number one is that they are being persecuted for following Jesus Christ. Okay, so they're under pressure from the Roman Empire and the community and the way that they're living their lives and stuff. And so they're being persecuted for their belief. Also, there is some strife inside the church from people within the body, all right? So-and-so's not getting along with so-and-so, or somebody said something to somebody that hurt their feelings, or whatever it might be. And that still goes on today, right? That's no different than what's going on in Philippi. So Paul writes this letter knowing these things to this church. And then I'm going to also give you the twist of Luke 2 in my message today. So you have the kind of what's going on now. So let's dig into the scripture as Paul writes to them. Here's what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this verse as we read on in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's, he says, where your thoughts should be today. Those things that he mentions. All right? Now go with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. All right, so we're right on the hills of Jesus' birth, okay? And we're going to go to the part in verses 8 through 11. So the shepherds are out in their fields, they're watching their flocks, and so Jesus is born. So here's where we pick up the reading. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The word of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning after hearing your word. Lord, we see the word that's wrote to the church in Philippi and how that still speaks to us today of who we are. And Lord, may you bring that word to life. And Lord, we are thankful for the word in Luke 2, Lord, of the good news that we get to learn about as well. And so, Lord, may you bless this message. May these be your words and not mine. Lord, may you fill me with your Holy Spirit today. And I pray, too, for those that have gathered here in your sanctuary and those that are online watching us as well today. Lord, may you bless them. In Jesus I pray, amen. I am excited this morning that so many of you decided to wear an ugly Christmas sweater. It's a phenomenon, and it's been going on for quite a while. And so today we get to look at this new series, and we get to look at everybody's sweater. I mean, there's some interesting sweaters if you look around here this morning and what they say and what they look like and what they are. But here's what I want you to look at. You see the ugliness of the sweaters. But we also need to realize that we are a very ugly, broken people too, don't we? In need of Jesus Christ. And so when you see the sweaters the next 4 weeks, I want you to think of the reason that Christ came into the world for you and I. Why it was needed. Because of our brokenness. And all the things that tie into that, that we're going to look at here over the next 4 weeks. Now, so I encourage you, keep your sweaters on. Wear them the next 4 weeks and show off our need for Jesus Christ in the world today. So Christmas is meant to be a time of joy. It's meant to be a time of happiness, especially if we are Christians who believe in the birth of Jesus Christ. But too often, these facts get lost in the ugliness of our thoughts, our words, our motives, and our actions. And so this morning, I want life to be different as you move forward now. I want it to look different for you and I as we believe in Jesus Christ. Because if we can celebrate that way, I think that we can get rid of our ugly thoughts. And so by the end of this message, I want those ugly thoughts, for the most part, hopefully that you won't have to deal with them so much anymore. I'm going to give you some defense, maybe some tools that will help you understand why do we have these and how can I get rid of them, especially as they go through the Advent season. So today we focus on those ugly thoughts because our words and our actions, they originate from our minds, don't they? We think them first, and then sometimes we choose to act upon them. But if we can get to the point where we can identify that is an ugly thought in our mind, hopefully you can say, no, I do not want to use that. I do not want to go there. That is not what I want to say. That is not what I want to show somebody. And maybe in the moment that you find yourself in that situation where you have ugly thoughts that might come to the forefront. So I'm hoping that you and I can catch them and that we can live a different life. And so there is a need to rewire our mind. So this morning I brought along, how many of you enjoy Christmas lights? All right. Now how many of you at home, so my wife loves Christmas and she decorates a lot, but this is just one little strand, but she puts them all in a big tote. All right. How many of you love it when she gets the tote out and then she says this, Rob, and she does a lot of it on her own. So, but if you start digging around in there and you pull out these strands and they're all hooked together, they're all wound through each other, and usually about how many of them work when you plug them in? Maybe half, right? Every year, and he's like, oh, you just bought that strand last year. Plugging in, it doesn't work. Like, what? Right? All the time that happens. And so what do you have to do? A lot of times you have to go through and you got to find a bulb that's burnt out in here somewhere and you have to replace it. Now, how many of you have the patience to go through and fix your Christmas lights? Or is it just as easy to go to the store and just buy a whole new strand? I do not care to fix these things. They're miserable. And they usually get me more frustrated than anything else. So it is a way better idea just to go to the store and buy a new strand of lights and then pitch these, correct? But here's what I want you to think about this morning. When you not have ugly thoughts, you need to rewire the way you think. Does that make sense to you and I this morning? Right? Just like the Christmas lights, you get them out of the tub, you go through them all, you have to rewire your mind in the same way. So I'm going to leave these lights sit up here today just as a reminder here of our need to rewire our lives. Now here's another thing I want to share with you this morning. When you and I are born into this world, it's a sinful world that we live in, right? Did you know that because of sin, you and I are wired negatively? We have negative thoughts. We have the wrong thoughts because of sin. And you have to train your brain to think good thoughts in your mind. You have to read good things to get good thoughts in your mind, such as the Word of God, the Bible. You need to pray. Whatever that might be, you need to retrain your brain. And so when we allow God to do that, I can tell you that you will start to find joy in places that you least suspect in your life. To rewire your mind. Now, here's some of the problem we deal with. Some of you are older than others, correct? And Some of us, we are so used to doing something a certain way that we have a natural tendency to fall into this pattern of how we rewire our thoughts and the things that we do. And those are called what? Habits, right? And sometimes we have some bad habits that we're not even aware of, right? Christmas lights. The bad habits that we have, right? And so think about rewiring in your mind. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that as well this morning. And so I think that if we can focus on good thoughts, your Christmas, your Advent season, your gatherings, your family parties, they're going to be a lot merrier to you and I when our thoughts are in the right place, in the right, where God brings us to a place where we are connected to Him in a deeper level for you and I in our faith journeys this morning. And Paul says this to the church in Philippi in his closing thoughts in the book of Philippians. This is his point, all right? So often in a closing letter, which he writes here to them, the author says things that he or she thinks are very important, that he wants the people to understand. And so this is what Paul says to the church in Philippi. I know what you're dealing with, but here's what I want you to do. So I want you to think about in your minds, you come across a lot of hustle and bustle. Life's not always easy. There's difficult things that enter. And then this is what Paul says. In the midst of all this stuff that's going on, he says, rejoice. I'll say it again. Rejoice is what Paul says. Now, I want you to think about your life this past week. I want you to think about your life this past month. I want you to think about your life this past year. I want you to think about all the difficult things that you've endured. Some of you have endured some tragic things like death, car accidents, all those types of things, a loss of a brother or a mother or a sister, whatever it might be, a loss of a job. Maybe your business didn't do so well this past year. It has been difficult in many other ways. Maybe your marriage is in a tough place. And Paul says this to you and I, rejoice. Rejoice. And you might be thinking, how can that be? What do you mean, Paul? Rejoice in the midst of this, right? He says, rejoice. So the feelings that you and I have, the things that we contemplate and go through in life, they affect our thinking, don't they? How many of you get anxious from time to time? How many of us get jaded in our thought process from time to time because of things that go on in our life? Maybe we get bitter after a while. How many of us want to stop and you question God? God, really? This is what you're doing? Now? How many of you have been in a place in your life where, like, you know what? I'm ready to give up. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Did you know that all the things that I just talked to you about, they begin in your mind? You start to tell them to yourself. And Satan's good at it. And then you start to believe them. Satan is the best at giving you ugly thoughts like that. That you're not good enough. It's never going to work. Why even try? Right? Why try to even put this marriage back together? It's never going to work. Right? That's what Satan wants you to believe. And whatever else you might be dealing with in your life this past year, or maybe in the past, you can go back as far as you want to. But even during all the reasons for discouragement or negativity, I want you to choose to rejoice because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit here. But rather than being anxious, bring these reasons for anxiety to the Lord. And it says to pray, correct? We should pray always. So when those thoughts come, when Satan's knocking at the door, when things aren't going well, Paul says, church in Philippi, Paul says, church in Inwood, pray. Pray. Bring it to God. Give it to Him. Because the victory's already been won in Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying is, I don't know why you're fretting. I don't know why you're so worried. I don't get why you have such negative thoughts, because God has won the battle on that cross for you and I. See, the war is in your mind, isn't it? Satan likes to enter. And I just want to tell you this morning, there is a great reason to rejoice in the midst of everything that's going on. Paul gives us this promise today. And he says, if you can just put your mind at ease that God's got this all covered in Jesus Christ, you can rejoice always in the Lord for no matter what you come across in your life. I'm not saying there won't be heartache. I'm not saying that there's not going to be any brokenness. I'm not saying that you're not going to grieve a great loss. But what I'm telling you is that the end result is that you and I can rejoice because we know what the future holds in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. How different might your life be if you began to think of all the reasons you have to rejoice versus all the reasons or all the problems that you might be having in your life? See, that's part of the rewiring that I want to do with you this morning. Is that I want you to think about all the reasons you have to rejoice. And by the way, when I think of the word rejoice, I mean, it's like to let your guard down and to relax. To let go of those hard, difficult things and say, God, I know you got these taken care of. Those types of things. That's rejoice. It's like taking a sigh of relief when something that's been terrible or devastating things happen. You just go, thank you, Lord. You've got this covered. Through your Son. That's what rejoice looks like in your life. And then it says, if we do this, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, the mind, the thoughts, the ugly thoughts, right? God said, if you just rejoice in me and just give those things to me, I'll protect your thoughts. That's what he says. He says he'll watch over you. Rejoice. Let me go a little bit further here this morning. I want to just spend a little bit of time on Philippians 4, verse 8. And here's, it's on the screen here this morning. I'm going to read it to you off my sheet. I think this is the ESV version, but I'm going to read you the NIV version. But here's what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. All right? You and I are given clear direction here where our thinking and where our mindset should be and where it should go. You see the words right up there. All right? Your job is to focus on those things in your life. Of all the things during Christmas, you focus on what's true. You focus on what's noble, what's right, what's pure, not the lies, what's lovely, not the hate, what's admirable, what's respectable, right? What's excellent and praiseworthy. And you know who that is. That's Jesus Christ in our lives. And I think that if we can discover that one thing in Jesus Christ, I think that your thoughts can be transformed from ugly, right? Look around at the sweaters, our lives, ugly, that it can be transformed into something beautiful. You have the ability to overcome your mind. God's giving that ability to do that. Your actions, your words that you speak, you get to control that. But how the things that come out of your mouth and the things that you do that originates from within, you get to control that. How many of you ever put your foot in your mouth and you're like, man, I wish I would have never said that? Anybody want to admit to that today? Yeah, all of us have been there, right? And this is what Paul is trying to say. The ugly thought comes, refocus your mind, rewire it on the things of God. Look at the good that whatever's going on. Focus on that, and then says rejoice. rejoice. So you need to have a one-track mind. It is hard to have a one-track mind, by the way, because you live in the real world. And Satan comes at you in many different ways, and you are busy, right? There are a lot of things that are going on. And so here's what I want to talk to you today about, a one-track mind. I'm going to flip to now the story out of Luke chapter 2. So we're on the hills of Jesus' birth. There's shepherds in the field. They're watching the sheep out there at night. It's a beautiful night. They're unaware of the miracle yet. They don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, angels appear to them out of the middle of nowhere. And we see that they're scared and stuff like that. And then we get this news of, Kate shepherds, I want you to focus on what's most true, what's most noble, what's most right, what's most pure, what's most lovely, what's most admirable and excellent, what's praiseworthy, right? And this is what they called it, good tidings, good news. To you and I, what that simply means is the gospel message of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what he wants us to focus on. That's what the angels came with that night in the birth of Jesus Christ. That's where your mind should be when the ugly thoughts come. The forgiveness of our sins and the birth of Jesus Christ, who rescues you and I from this world. That's what's worthy of rejoicing in our lives. So if you could have a one-track mind, and this is what we're to work on. And you're not going to perfect this till you're in heaven someday in the midst of Jesus Christ. But that's what you want to keep at the forefront in everything that you do. That's your filter in life. Jesus. You know, the Jewish people, they were waiting a long time for this Messiah. They read it in the Old Testament over and over. Thousands of years. When's this Messiah coming? When's this Messiah coming? When's he going to come and set his people free? Luke 2, the story's fulfilled. You know what the greatest news of all is? You and I get to live on the backside of the story. They're in anticipation. You and I get to live in that place. I mean, more news to rejoice. More news to be happy about the life you've been given. Don't get stuck in your ugly thoughts. Don't get drugged down with the things going on in your life, is what Paul is saying. The time had finally come. The prison gates of sin have been slung wide open. Let me share a little poem with you here this afternoon or this morning. Get to the next slide here. Morgan, can you bump me up a slide? Thank you. Here's what this is, by the way, this is an author that's unknown, all right? And this is how it goes. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. And by the way, this is nothing against those who teach or anything like that. Hear the story out. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. If our greatest need, you know, it goes on and on. So figure out your life, and then here's what I want you to go home with today. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior and the birth of Jesus Christ. Knowing that we would be an ugly people who needed forgiveness. That's the good news. We can receive that today. So Paul's reminding us today, be grateful for living the Christian life. Be grateful that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Be filled with joy this Christmas season. And may I end with a verse on the screen in the green box this morning. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have you ever thought about that verse? Right? What are his benefits? I'll give you one, and then I want you to go home and think about the rest. All right? The first benefit that you and I have is the birth of a Savior who went to the cross and died for our sins. that we have forgiveness and we can have eternal life with Christ in heaven one day. That's your first benefit. Now I want you to think about all the other benefits that God is giving you in your life as you head out today. That's what Psalm 103 says to you and I. All right? The ugly thoughts. Get rid of them. Move on. Rewire your mind today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise today for Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Lord, we struggle with those same things. Our mind sometimes can overtake our thoughts and our actions and the words that we speak. Make us aware of those things, Lord, in a great way of who we are. Lord, we just pray that you fill us with your Spirit today and that this is only possible through your Spirit, which we are so thankful for. In Jesus I pray, amen.